Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, what do you say we do a Friday edition of the Eagle Hour on Super Talk Mississippi? Bob Getty and Luke Johnson. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel this afternoon. We're glad you're with us. Got to wrap up another week of Eagle Hour broadcasting with one of our very favorite guests. He'll be joining us here, Lee Roberts, in just a moment. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Proud supporters of the Eagle Hour, proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to go this weekend with your family if you want the best barbecue in the Pine Belt. Also remind you that if you've got an event upcoming with your church, business, or personal, maybe a family get-together, they cater and they do a great job at Dickey's, so we really thank them for all they do for the Eagle Hour. All right. Well, Lee Roberts is no stranger to the show, a good friend to all of us, and one of our favorite guests, former quarterback, of course, star quarterback, I should say, for the Golden Eagles, and now a prominent member of the Southern Miss broadcast team. Lee, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me. Always good to get to chat with you guys. So it's always fun. Just to kind of reminisce and talk Golden Eagle athletics.
Right. Sure. Well, speaking of reminiscing, before we get started in today's conversation, we had one of your former teammates on the show earlier this week, a guy you probably remember named Marchant Kenny.
Yeah, I know Marchant a little bit, right? I mean, this is a guy. When you talk Southern Miss football, I mean, he's his name and pictures is right there next to it. I mean, he's the epitome of what Southern Miss football is all about. All right. Well, a true friend, a dedicated teammate, just a great guy indeed.
All right. He wanted us to deliver a message to you. We told him you were going to be on the show later this week. And he said to remind you that the year that the Golden Eagles opened against defending national champion Florida.
Yeah.
And these are his words. Tell Lee, if we'd had any offense at all, we would have won the game.
Hey, we scored 6 points, man. Doggone it. Oh man, some great times, man. Marchand, never a dull moment there, man, for sure.
There probably was. I mean, there were a lot of great defensive players. I had a text from a listener last night, a message, and after the Kenny interview, and he was talking about some of the great players in Southern Miss history, and Gerald Bayless, and you know, guys like that came up. We talked a lot about Gerald Bayless, but really there was never, pound for pound, probably never a better defensive player than Marchant Kenny.
No, I mean, a guy that, you know, just from top to bottom, you know, side to side, I mean, that guy could cover the field. He had what it took. He had the intensity, you know, obviously what it took to be successful at Southern Miss. And, man, like I said, a great friend, teammate. You know, we went in the Hall of Fame class together, and it was an honor going in with him. But a good guy, but a great football player, and like I said, just a great friend. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, can come back to the program's always welcome. I know he spoke to the team back in spring ball once, and just always a great message. And any youngster that wants to hear a great story, I would sit down and listen to something from Marchand indeed.
Well, speaking of stories, Luke, you had the best story when the young girl dropped her lunch on Marchand accidentally in the Commons, and when she realized it was Marchant Kenny, she ran out of the building.
Yeah, it was several things like that. I'm sure Lee can remind him. We were talking about Brian Burns' snake also the other day, Lee.
Oh wow, man! He kept that thing in the dorm, man. That's a freaky deal knowing there's a snake in the dorm.
They Marchant would say that thing would yawn in the middle of the night, and it would just like wake everybody up, and it was incredibly terrible. Anyway, all right, camp starts today. Golden Eagle's already been on the practice field. We asked Marchant this, and I just asked you before, you know, we start talking some details about this year's team. What was the best part about camp to you and the worst part about camp to you?
You know, camp is different now than when we were here, and it really was different my first couple of years. I mean, I think my first year, nothing really took place a whole lot in the summer. Then it seemed like it was more, you know, where more guys stayed around. And now, I mean, it's pretty much 100% of the guys are in the summer. So, you know, those guys, you know, never really leave each other. I'm talking to Coach Hall the other day. I think he gave the guys like a week off and then obviously reported back yesterday or so. But, you know, the best part about camp is just knowing that now, hey, it's not spring, it's not summer. Hey, we're getting ready for fall football, and that's what it's all about. And I think we're probably under 30 days now before kickoff for Southern Miss, and well, that just excites me. So I think just the fact of getting back, getting going, knowing you're working together towards your common goal, and then obviously the worst part was those 2 days on the 2 day practice field, man. The heat, the dust. I mean, you bend over to catch your breath and dust is in your face. Ooh, it was not a fun sight. But obviously now these guys don't go through 2 days, so I won't say they're not as tough as what we were. But
yeah, they're not.
And indeed, just a different atmosphere. But I'm excited, man. It's gonna be a fun year, I hope.
We used to have the big old tub set right outside the locker room. We'd all go, you know, just sit in it, get your legs back. It was actually before we got turf in the rock. We practiced on the 49, field, if you'll call it, right where the Trent Lott Center and Sienna Hall are sitting now. They were just trying to save the grass because, you know, back there in 2 days. All right, this year's team specifically, because Coach Hall's been talking about it. You know, they're still installing schemes and such. He talks about how much they'll install every day. I mean, you know, he's got his offense. You tweak it in the offseason. You look at personnel. I mean, as far as from a player's perspective, some of that is mentally grinding too. Some of the install process.
You know, it is, and I was talking to Coach Armstrong the other day, the defense coordinator, just kind of about that same thing. And, you know, he said, this will be our sixth time installing this offense. And I never really thought about that. I was like, six times? It's just the second year. But I guess you look at spring, summer, fall, spring, summer, fall. You know, so I guess you're right. I mean, so these guys now, especially if this is year two in the program, you know, they're starting to somewhat get it. But yeah, it is grinding, and indeed, I mean, it's time in the meeting room installing it, and then you go to the practice field, and probably back to the meeting room, and you know, especially before school starts, you know, pretty much going to be all together all day long, and that's what it's going to be about. So it's a long 3 weeks, and again, but you're working towards that first game against Liberty, and these guys are hungry. I know they are, especially the guys that are on campus, you know, for last year's season, just. They know they have better opportunities this year, and they're looking forward to that.
I might ask you this the week of the Liberty game, as you're able to be at practice more. But let's go ahead and ask it now and then see how it changes Liberty. What do you think Southern Miss fans will be most surprised about in the positive sense when they see this team play this year?
You know, I'm going to say offensively. I mean, we had one of the top defensive systems and teams in the country last year, and I don't think that'll change. I think Coach Armstrong will have them, you know, back where they were. I know we've had a big, you know, portal, a bunch of guys in the portal that transferred in, and so I think we'll be really good and strong defensively. But I think offensively is where we'll see a difference. Obviously, we know Frank Gore's coming back. We know what he can do. Glad to see him back as a running back and not as a quarterback. Sure, the super back may still be part of it, but I think Jason Brownlee out wide will be a big plus. And obviously, Ty Keyes being the guy behind center. Coach Hall is really big on him, and You know, he knows what he can do. Obviously, a youngster only has 4 or 5 game experience after that, before that injury. But this is a guy that has grown up. I mean, he really has. A guy from Taylorsville that has put on some good weight. His leadership has come on along strong. Coach Hall mentions that, hey, this is a guy that's out on the practice field, you know, all the time with these receivers and his team, just trying to get things going. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing, just knowing that this is year two for Ty Keyes and, you know, bringing his leadership and really getting this offense going. And then, of course, the area that we all want to see much better, obviously, is the offensive line. And I think that's an area of focus as well. So I think as a whole, offensively, we're going to be a much better unit.
We're talking to Lee Roberts on the Eagle Hour, the color commentator, of course, for Southern Miss football radio broadcast and former great quarterback for the Golden Eagles under Jeff Bauer. We're going to continue our conversation with Lee on the other side of the break. Quick reminder that you can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast every day on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. If you can't catch us live, we hope you'll do that. More with our good friend Lee Roberts right after this on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Happy Friday afternoon to you along the Super Talk Radio Network. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. You can shop either way you like. Find your football apparel. I'm sure they're filling up the store day by day. And it's always just a great place and a great visit with Miss Kathleen at Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. We're talking to Lee Roberts, and Lee, a couple questions from me, and we'll throw it back to Luke. One thing we've heard a lot about is that this year the football team will be almost 20 scholarships stronger than last year. That last year Coach Hall operated at a deficit of just a little over 60 scholarships. Before I talk about the importance of that or ask you to talk about the importance of that, if you can, explain to our listeners How does a coach come into a program like Hall did and find himself 20 scholarships short of the limit?
You know, as a college football coach, I mean, you have a maximum that you can have on scholarship is 85. And I think the max you can sign in a season is 25. And those numbers may have kind of skewed a little bit just because of the transfer portal. So it's really, you have to keep your classes balanced is what you have to do. So, I mean, you know, so if math is correct, you try to have around 21 to 22 scholarships in each class to kind of keep that number around 85. And, you know, so just kind of through the last couple of years, you know, those numbers just got really, really skewed, really, really skewed. And, you know, sometimes you graduate more and you just, because of scholarships that you have available, you can't sign as many. And so that was just the kind of situation that Coach Hall found himself in. And, you know, so last year was tough. I think we were in the 60-something scholarship range, which is tough to do. I mean, you know, we want to compete with 85 scholarships, not 60-something. And, you know, but I think Coach Hall has now brought that number up tremendous. And, you know, as a coach, that's just really what you want to see. And even as a team, just being able to stand around and seeing the difference of depth, I think that'll be something to be truly noticed this year.
Yeah, really remarkable job that he did last year when you consider how low he was on scholarship players.
No, I agree. I mean, you take that plus all the other things that happened throughout the year with, you know, quarterbacks and such. Just an interesting year indeed. But, yeah, just, you know, super proud with what Coach Hall and the whole staff has been able to do. And it really starts with him all the way down to each one of his coaches and GAs and everyone involved. I mean, the recruiting part of college athletics is so big. It's, has changed so much again because of the portal. I mean, obviously we can lose guys through the portal, but we can gain some as well. And I think this year it's truly helped us.
So where will fans see that difference in scholarships? Does that really show up in the depth, perhaps in offensive and defensive line depth in the skill players, or is it a combination, you think?
I mean, I think it's a combination. I mean, I think every coach kind of builds his team a little bit differently. You know, obviously Coach Hall builds his team around a quarterback. Defensively, you know, they build it around kind of the linebacker system. You know, but I know we went really heavy in the defensive line this year. That was just a need where we had to go and, you know, was able to pick up a lot of great talent there. So, I mean, I think all around you're going to see some tremendous depth, I think, at the skill positions. Offensively, we picked up some players, you know, need some help in the backfield with Frank Gore as well. And, you know, again, you know, even though Tyke's been named the starter, I mean, still you have, you know, some guys behind him that are going to continue to push. And I think that's just what happens. I mean, success is bred with competition, and every different position now is going to have a lot more depth there.
Well, we certainly know the importance of quarterback depth, do we not, after last year?
Man, you're not lying. I think I saw something on Twitter, and, you know, I'm sure it was a local fan that kind of put it together, but, you know, Southern Miss returning the top five out of the top five of the top 10 quarterbacks from, you know, the Sun Belt this season. And, you know, so the names that they went on and listed, Frank Gore being one of them, I thought was kind of funny. But, yeah, we don't want to have to see Frank Gore behind center a whole lot this year.
No,
obviously,
no.
We were successful doing that, but I know Coach Hall would love to keep his true quarterback behind center.
All right, Luke, get back in here.
You talk about depth, really important. You lose a guy, Hayes Maples, you lose him at a crucial position. I'm counting 12 linebackers on the roster, including Maples. Of course, Swayze Bozeman, Central Latham. But, you know, opportunity for a guy you know, like TQ Newsom to step up. And, of course, Southern Miss got Dalen Gill, transfer from Ole Miss. But how does that mess with your psyche at all, Lee? I mean, this guy led the team in tackles 2 years ago, local kid. It just stinks to see him even before one snap goes in the regular season, or even preseason camp. Like how do you process that?
As far as Hayes goes, you mean that kind of your question?
Yep.
You know, it is tough. I mean, a guy that has battled injuries, and now he's fought all summer long. I mean, Hayes is a guy that, I mean, we know. I mean, he is a hard working kid. He's got the tools. You know, again, we talked about Marchant earlier. Hayes is just another one of those guys that you talk about Southern Miss football, and he just fits that mold. Swayze Bozeman being another one. But, yeah, you lose a guy like that. I mean, a guy that has really grown into a leadership role, which, you know, he's still going to be able to be around. He'll be able to help with, you know, different things and help maybe some of these younger guys grow up quickly. And, you know, when a leader goes down, that's what happens. Somebody has to step up. And, yeah, we're pretty deep there as well, but you really don't want to start losing guys too early. And, yeah, it's a huge loss indeed by losing Hayes.
Yeah, two-time all-conference selection. All right, I want to go back to a name you mentioned earlier, and I've been kind of asking different people this. Was it because of the quarterback, you know, open chair last year that Jason Brownlee doesn't get more recognition than he should? I was surprised he was left off the Sun Belt all preseason teams. He would have been, I think, third last year in touchdown catches had Southern Miss played in the Sun Belt last year. Well, you know, why do you think that is, and what do you expect out of him this year?
You know, just to kind of set the stage here, I mean, obviously a preseason recognition is huge, but we all know that a postseason recognition, you know, is more valuable. And so if a guy's got to be left off preseason, I'm fine with it. That maybe guys won't be, you know, teams won't be really looking for him. But if you look at him on film, you know he's a playmaker. He's a guy that's going to go do things. And I know he and Ty Keys are going to hit it off really well. And I do. I expect a lot of big things out of Brownlee. And too, I mean, he's going to kind of bring on some of those younger receivers as well. I mean, we're going to be talking here at week 10, week 12 in the season, and we're going to be talking about what a year Brownlee has had. And, you know, I just hope that's what happens. So I'm expecting big things out of Brownlee for sure.
Yeah, he made the super back work last year where he could just get one-on-one. All right, I'm pretty much convinced that if I ask you this, you're going to answer Miami. If I were to ask you, I don't know, maybe playing in New Orleans, but the we won't ask that one. The your what you're looking forward to most as far as a non-conference road game. But here it is: at Troy, at Texas State, at Coastal, at Monroe. Which one of the conference road games are you most looking forward to? Not just for the game, but maybe the atmosphere in the community.
You know, I think those ones that you can drive to just make it that much better. I mean, obviously, Troy, we've played them as a non-conference team, you know, over the years. It's a team that has, you know, kind of bitten us in the backside a little bit, and you know, they're a program that needs to be on the rise, and they're going to be on the rise. But yet, I feel like we are as well, and I'm looking forward to that trip as well. One, just to be able to play a team like Troy, a cross the state rival type team. I know that they'll bring a pretty good crowd. We'll be able to take a good crowd. So I think that'll be a fun road trip indeed this year.
All right, Lee. Marchant let us know that y'all opened up against the defending national champion one year, so I don't guess it gets much tougher than that. But the Golden Eagles have a pretty tough opener against Liberty, and, of course, Hugh Freeze coming back to Hattiesburg. That's gonna be a big story to kick off the year. But what do you expect to see out of Hugh Freeze's team here?
You know, I mean, when you think about what he's done over the last couple of years, you know, he had a big-time quarterback there. Obviously, Willis is not there, which for us, I'm super excited about that. But, you know, he's going to replace that position, and he's going to have an offensive-minded quarterback that can run a system and be very, very successful. So I think they're going to be a team that comes in and tries to, you know, surprise teams. And obviously, he would love to come back to Hattiesburg and make a statement as well. I mean, you know, Liberty's a team that's been successful over the years. And, you know, one of those programs that 15 years ago, you know, you didn't know much about it. But this is a team that, and a program that has grown, a program that's got a lot of money as well. If you've ever been over there, their facilities are phenomenal. So I think he's looking forward to coming back to Hattiesburg. And I'm sure his team is ready to come in and try to start their season 1-0. But that puts the pressure on Southern Miss as well to try to defend the Rock and have a great opener for Coach Hall's second season.
No question. I think we can all agree that Hugh Freeze kind of put the face on Liberty football. Is that fair to say?
No, I would totally agree. So Hugh Freeze has done a tremendous job indeed there.
All right, Lee, we're about 3 weeks away. We look forward to hope we're going to have you back on weekly when we get started, maybe right before the season starts, and then get your analysis after the games each week. Hope we can work that out with you. That sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds great, man. I look forward to it. It's something I look forward to each and every week. And like I said, talking with you guys, talking Southern Miss football, it's a great part of my week. So looking forward to it.
All right. Hope you have a good weekend, my friend. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
All right. Lee Roberts, everybody. One of our favorite guys. Great, great quarterback at Southern Miss. Conference winning repeated champion at Southern Miss. And just a good all-around guy. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. Bob and Luke with you this afternoon. Thanks to our buddy Lee Roberts for giving us a couple of segments today. We'll get Lee on the show game week prior to the opening game, and then he'll be joining us, I think it's Monday or Tuesday, each week after the games, and we'll always look forward to our conversations with Lee Roberts. Well, it's official football practice, fall practice, the practice that really counts, began today. Here's what Coach Will Hall said about the first day of practice at Southern Miss.
All right, like everybody in the country, day one, a lot of juice. Thank the good Lord for the great weather we had. You know, like we talked about all off seasons, you know, we're reaping the rewards of a lot of hard work. You know, it's kind of like a celebration of all the recruiting and the work we've done, being able to go out there and have a real college practice like we did. You know, y'all could see it in the special teams. We just got so many more bodies. We were able to run three full groups in team periods on the line of scrimmages. which is a real college practice. It's a huge step forward for our program. I thought our kids had great culture today. There was we've eliminated all the in-between plays, talking. That's no use in that. We look and get the signal. We're helping each other. Just kind of being a more mature, adult-like program. You can see us transitioning from a coach-led team to a player-led team. You know, like I said all along, man, we're not a finished product. We're in a much better shape to handle this season. And day one down, saw a lot of good things today. Saw some things got to correct, obviously. And spent a lot of work in the low red zone. That's how we start off with fall camp, going red zone. That's what got that from the Patriots. And so with that,
Yeah, Will Hall with the opening clip there. And one thing he said in that clip particularly, we got a few more from him, but you see the guys are starting to take ownership. We're starting to move from being a coach-led team to a player-led team. And you got to have that because that means that guys are taking responsibility, and that starts in each position. Of course, you have guys on either side of the ball. You have team, you have guys as a whole that the team looks to and guys on either sides of the ball. But when guys start stepping up and basically taking ownership, it helps the coaches out a lot, Bob, because, you're not just having a coach yell at you. You're having, a guy beside you doing that. Here's what he said about – he was asked the biggest difference from last year and this year, and this is what Will Hall had to say.
Now the biggest difference, talent. You know, I mean, it's great that all those things – it's great to talk culture and all these cool words that everybody talks about everything, but at the end of the day, players win games. Like Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia are going to be really good this year because they got way better players than everybody else. So the biggest difference in us from year one to year two is we've got a lot more good football players.
That's a good thing to hear, Bob Getty.
Well, there's no question. You can be the greatest coach in the world, but you got to have the players on the field, to produce. And I think part of that goes back, too, doesn't it, to the increased number of scholarships that we talked about earlier and the increased depth on the football team. These are huge differences in what the team went into battle, so to speak, with last year.
Yeah, what you just heard him say about when they were able to run three full groups out there, that means that you feel like you're three deep at every position. And you're not going to have to, be asking guys to move around or guys playing, two positions. They do that sometimes in the secondary. But, defensive line coach Lacey told us, about a month or so ago, feels great about really six to seven guys, no matter who he puts out there. He feels confident in it. So that's the biggest thing for me when you're talking about depth and not just bodies, but you're talking about, as Will Hall just said, the talent. Of it. I was thankful to hear that. I won't play the clip for you, but safety, Tylan Knight, who's going to be kind of a Swiss Army knife on sorts with special teams, and he transferred in from Ole Miss. He had something to say. This is big, too, for guys who come in from particularly, Power 5 programs that come in. He just talked about how comfortable he is at Southern Miss, and that is extremely important too. Guys won't ever play. We just had a joke. If we don't think we look good, we don't play good, but I mean, there is a lot to be said for confidence on the field comes from comfort, with a guy in what he's in and the culture that he's in. So just those little things. And again, I don't want to overhype those. And it's day one and we got a month till we play. I get all that. But I mean, year two is still a building year. Usually when there's a rebuild of a program, year three is when you really take the step forward. But you are seeing and hearing the type of things that make you feel good as a fan to think that this year will be better than year one.
See, another thing I caught Coach saying is starting out with red zone practicing, and he picked that up from the New England Patriots.
When you do red zone, and what red zone is, it's good on good. And that's when you really do a few things. That's when you start building like big time competition when your defense wants to be good and your offense wants to be good. So it's always good on good. And I mean, what it does is this is where the game is won and lost, not just, in the end zone, but at the line of scrimmage, at short lines of scrimmage. And yeah, I mean, Will Hall's like, yeah, Belichick does that. We're going to do that. I mean, that's what you want. You want to find out what makes people win, and no matter where they are and how they win, and to implement those things in your program.
We're going to cover football a little differently this year on the Eagle Hour. We're going to have someone at almost every practice. We're going to be bringing you a lot of sound bites from practice, from players and from coaches, and really give our listeners what we think they want in-depth coverage of this football program this year. And we'll be, I think, at every home game to get post-game comments as well. So we're looking forward to, Luke, what we think is going to be really expanded football coverage on the Eagle Hour.
Yeah, it should be great. And again, with, not only with that, we're going to start reaching out to our Sunbelt guys as we kind of made a trip through the Sunbelt over the last 3 or 4 weeks or so. And we're going to start working these guys in because we're August now. It's time to talk, you know, football preview. So working to get different guys from the Sunbelt to give us a preview of their teams from both the East and the West. We didn't include Old Dominion. And we didn't include Marshall because you, the listener, already knew about those two programs from being in Conference USA. But we will be reaching out to our buddies who cover the herd and our friend Ted Alexander, who is so gracious in multiple sports to come on the Eagle Hour from Old Dominion. But it will be fun now that we know a little more about these schools to dig in. And some of these teams, like Lee Roberts said last segment, like Troy, we know about Troy. We know about South Alabama because we played them last year. We know about Marshall. We know about Old Dominion. But I don't think anybody right now, you know, could tell me five players off Texas State roster, you know, or, right. You know, Terry Bowden's at Monroe. You know that. But I mean, I know Chadwell and I know Grayson McCall and I know a few more guys from Coastal, but just basically starting getting our listeners knowing the names that are going to be said all throughout the Sun Belt. Because, again, this is what excites me about the Sun Belt. Obviously, number one, I want to watch the Eagles and I want to watch the Eagles play. But what I love about this league is I feel like, and there's a reason why they call it the Fun Belt, I feel like Southern Miss fans are going to enjoy interconference games outside of Southern Miss. Like, you're going to turn on a Thursday night. I mean, the one that we're crunk for is App State and Coastal. But I'm saying to watch, like, you know, Georgia State. And because the Sun Belt's going to play a lot of Power 5 schools, you know, early on, I think we will enjoy those games more than what we did in Conference USA.
Well, I would agree. Football officially kicked off last night, the Hall of Fame NFL game with the Raiders playing Jacksonville. And Nick Mullins on the field. And I thought played pretty well in the time that he had. Do you see Nick Mullins sticking with the Raiders, Luke?
Well, I mean, he's competing against Jarrett Stidham, who of course, played at Auburn. So I think Stidham may have been in the game before Mullins. So that, you know, Nick's got to – you always got to fight those off. I will tell you this. I don't know if you saw this, but Kyle Sloter played last night, went 13-25 for Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Of course, he was Fedora's New Orleans Breakers quarterback. There were several guys last night. Nick went 8 of 11 for 72 yards. And then, you know, Columbia's own Logan Cook punted six times for a 49.5-yard average. So, you know, South Mississippi all over the Hall of Fame game last night.
Well, football officially began last night. I guess the NFL probably have preseason games, I guess, starting next weekend. I don't think they'll be this weekend. I could be wrong about that. But starting next weekend, so officially the countdown has begun. The Golden Eagles practicing, the NFL playing. It's almost football season, Luke.
It really is. You're less than a month now, right at about 29 days till Saturday, September 3rd, when Liberty comes into town. And you know, as we start talking about this, too, we really hadn't talked about it that much, but I have been giving Southern Miss the edge to this game simply because one of their key offensive coaches last year is our new offensive coordinator was Sam Gregg, and that's why we expect the offensive line to be better. But, you know, there might be something to that, and, you know, we can talk about it as the weeks go on. Just basically having the inside to the offense that you're about to face. Doesn't happen that much, but it will happen this year when Liberty comes to town on September the 3rd.
Hey, I want to thank 4th Street Bar and Grill for sponsoring the third segment of the Eagle Hour each and every day. Great weekend to go down and enjoy delicious shrimp poor boy. They got all kinds of really great sandwiches. I always plug those because they're my favorite. They'll have some big games. I'm sure Major League Baseball on the TV all weekend. Be sure you tell Slade and the guys. We said, oh, check out the new Marchant Kenny jersey, now officially hanging on the wall at 4th Street Bar and Grill in the shadow of the rock. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Friday. Final segment of the week brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training in Hattiesburg. You can sign up for a membership there. Always great ways to use those great facilities. 8 batting cages, 70-yard indoor facility with turf and workout. Great workout gear. Camps and clinics going on all the time. Lessons. It's all at DBAT and D1 Training in Hattiesburg. Bob and Luke from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. Of course, if you missed our interview with Lee Roberts and or anything else that you go back and listen to us today, you can go back and check it out, supertalk.fm, as well as a plethora of podcasts. There we are. All right, Bob, I did actually have some people that text me last night asking, they're just kind of taking stabs in the dark as to who the mysterious person was that called you out on the Nasty Bunch. So, Southern Miss fans pretty smart, okay?
Yeah, just we're not going to reveal that.
But just want to throw that out there. All right, some couple breaking news. Before we get to that, just want to let you – I meant to mention this last segment. Shout out to the 4th Street Sports guys of the Student Prince. They got us – I pulled those audio bits from their Twitter profiles. Really appreciate them. That's what I love. We've got lots of friends that cover Southern Miss. But the fact that we have a strong core of student journalists on campus covering Southern Miss for the Student Prince, Bob, I love that.
Right. They do a good job, too. And we appreciate all their help. Thank those guys for allowing us to use those clips.
Southern Miss gets another baseball transfer, another one. And if it was a position, Bob, what would you think it would need to be?
Relief pitcher.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chandler Dawson of Georgia State. So a new Sunbelt foe transferring in. He's a right-handed pitcher from Warren Roberts, Georgia, 6'1", 180, right-hander. Last year for Georgia State, pitched 43 innings, a lot of it in relief, 33 strikeouts in those 43 innings. But he will come in, and he will be a what we'll call a COVID junior. So got two more years to play. Chandler Dawson, the newest Golden Eagle right-handed pitcher. And then I've been following this, and, man, he almost pulled it out, but Southern Miss golfer Robbie Ladder finished second in the Canadian Amateur Championship.
Wow.
The 117th time that golf tournament has been played. 4 days, 72 holes. He shot 8 under, 69, 72, then a 65 third day, and then a 70. So congratulations to Robbie Ladder, man, representing Southern Miss and in the Great White North. Good stuff.
65, that's a pretty good round of golf on any course, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, finished 8 under for the tournament. And if you've been living under a rock for the last hour, Southern Miss started preseason camp today. And, of course, if you missed earlier, we played some clips in the third segment of what Will Hall had to say. I combined our head coach and our quarterback friend, Lee Roberts. But, yeah, Will Hall had great things to say. And there's some more sound bites out there on Twitter for you guys to go see. But it's an exciting day, no doubt.
All right, we're always working on guests for the upcoming week. I think you've lined up one for next Wednesday. I think it'll be a very interesting interview.
Yeah, Chris Vanenini from The Athletic, he's senior writer from The Athletic, wrote an outstanding story on Southern Miss in the fall of 2020. Called me and interviewed me for that, and I started following him on social media. We talk occasionally, and loves Group of Five football, and
so do I.
He when Southern Miss came into the Sun Belt, he was excited for our program. So that'll be a good interview because he's a national writer where so many of the national college football writers, Bob, focus only on the Power Five.
Right.
He shows a lot of love to the Group of Five, and I think he's going to have some intriguing things to say about the Sun Belt this year.
But, you know, I'm with that guy. Like you pointed out, the Coastal Carolina App State game coming up. That's just one man's opinion. I would far rather watch that, much rather watch that than watch South Carolina and Florida. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just don't care too much about those types of games, but I just find the smaller schools, I love the spirit and I love the competitiveness, and I look forward to those kind of games. I agree with our guests come Wednesday.
It's may get things thrown at me for saying something like this, but I feel like now that group of five football is it's the more pure type of college football. And it just seems like everything's taking a step up, you know. Junior high football is what high school football used to be. High school football is what college football used to be. College football is what the NFL used to be. And the NFL, you know, just is the NFL. But I feel like, you know, in these days of NIL, you're dealing the group of five and even the FCS division of Division I. I mean, you're dealing with a more pure brand because, you know, that guys have two chips on both shoulders for playing football as they do.
Correct. And some of the schools, some of the big schools have basically become professional football teams. I mean, argue any way you want to argue about it, but when everybody on the team is making money, it makes it a professional football team. That wraps up this week of the Eagle Hour. We promise good shows for you next week. And as always, we thank you very, very much for listening. I want to say hello to our good friends at Mobay Beignet on Hardy Street. Go get some beignets this weekend. Man, what a great way to spend a Saturday morning at Mobay Beignet on Hardy Street. Until we talk again, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.